You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Mfundisi, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Brother Zama. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Are you well?
I'm well, no complaints. And you?
I am fantastic, Mfundisi. I've just been enjoying the weather this afternoon. I was saying to someone earlier that yesterday was a bit coldish, and so I think the winter was just doing a testing, one, two, and it found us ready. So I think it's going to come in its own time. Weather today is fantastic in Pretoria. I hope you've had a good day so far.
Yes, I've had a good and productive day.
Lovely. What is it? Let's proceed from where we ended yesterday. I wanted to find out, and by the way, those who are joining us, those who are joining us for the first time, we're speaking to Pastor Johannes Maluleke, who is talking to us about, we're addressing sin this particular week in the Bible Corner. And of course, wanting to understand the subject of sin and the problem of sin, as it were, and, how the whole thing started. And how is it even defined, and when are you said to have sinned, etc., etc. And so if you want to join the conversation, or even if you have any questions, by the way, please do send us those messages on our WhatsApp line, +27 7347035220. Mfundisi, thank you for so much for holding for that. Now, Mfundisi, what we're dealing with yesterday, and of course addressed a couple of other questions in terms of understanding the Luciferian issue, and of course the angels, the third of angels that he brought to deception, etc. Now, that all happened in another venue or space, now not here on earth. But of course, we now do read that it came to earth and passed down to here. Now, even if it came on earth, I think that it may have come to a particular place, where the Garden of Eden was. Some say it was in what today is known as Iran, and others are pointing it elsewhere, etc., etc. Now, that's the place that, this guy was thrown out into, fell into earth, and then, of course, spoke to Eve, and we know the story. But where we need to actually just get it clear is, now the whole thing spreads like cancer in the entire universe. We also did say that animals didn't disobey, but it looks like they're also affected. Nature also never disobeyed. Looks like it's affected. It's only mankind, and in fact, only Eve, really, and her husband who disobeyed. And so why is everything now all of a sudden touched by this problem? Looks like sifaka kunto esingangeni kuyo la, Mfundisi.
Yeah, so it's a difficult question, honestly, and I think this is a question that even theologians from different backgrounds would speculate on. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to do it systematically in response to this question. And, yesterday I showed that with Noah, who was the second Adam,
yes,
God not only established a covenant with Noah, Exodus, Genesis chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, he established the covenant with Noah and also with animals. And so the logic of, maybe I didn't, because yesterday I was rushing, the logic of comparing the Noahic covenant, we want to take it back to the Adamic covenant, because in the Bible, as you read it, you will not get an Adamic or creation covenant clearly. So with Noah, it was a new beginning after the flood, and God establishes the covenant, and then he makes it with Noah and with animals.
Yeah.
Now, I want to show from the Bible that there was a covenant also with Adam. If you read Hosea chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "But like men, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me." But if you go to the King James Version, it says, "But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me." Now, if we infer, we can see that when God made a covenant with Noah, it included not only Noah, but the animal kingdom. take it back, given that Hosea 6, verse 7 says there was a covenant with Adam. And yesterday I read Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 19 and 20. God made a covenant with creation, even with time, with day and night, so that, you know, those things don't change. If you go to Job 38, when he questions Job, where were you when I created this world? He will even tell you, where were you when I told the water that we can move up to so far and not beyond this? So when he was creating boundaries between where the water will be and then where the land will be, you know, all these were creation covenants. So animals are also involved in the covenant, but more specifically, when Satan came to tempt Adam, he used the medium of an animal, which was a serpent, which when you read Genesis chapter 3, it tells us that it was the most subtle. And subtle in this case is not necessarily negative, because remember, everything that God had created was good and very good. So the subtle in this case has no negative connotation. It simply means it was the most intelligent. You know, it says now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Cunning here is the same that Jesus uses when he says, be humble as doves, but be as wise as serpents. Same connotation, so it's not necessarily negative. Now, the devil used the animal, the serpent, as a medium to tempt. And that's why when it comes to now the curses after the fall, God starts with the serpent.
Right.
And he says, verse 14, because you have done this, talking to the serpent that was used as a medium, you are cursed more than all. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here, Pastor.
Yeah, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle. Now, cursed more than, it means the animal kingdom is also cursed, but the serpent that was used as a medium, much more than them, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life, which also suggests that the snake had a different locomotion system before the curse. It was able to fly in the spirit of prophecy. And, you know, and so that's why Lucifer chose the serpent as a medium, because it was dazzling, it was attractive, and he gave it the power of speech. So we can see from here that the animal kingdom also is involved in the curse. When God curses Eve, he talks about giving birth in labor. When he curses Adam, he also curses the ground. And so the ground did not sin. But because, remember, the covenant was, do not eat from this tree, because from the day you eat of it, that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. But so, now it also means you will be exposed to good and to evil. And now this is how this evil comes about. It comes about, it's there in the animal kingdom, it's there now in terms of labor. Now Adam has to toil. The ground now brings forth thorns and thistles. What I was not able to find in my research, because Genesis chapter 1 verse 30 tells us that God also, you know, the animal kingdom was also supposed to eat vegetation. Can I read it quickly?
Okay, that's fine.
Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Now, there's no direct verse that tells us that now the animals now would also become carnivorous and, you know, eat other animals. That's something that happens as time goes by. In Exodus chapter 9, we are told God, yes, does say to Noah now that they can begin eating flesh meat, but he specifies, you know, clean meats, but also without blood in them, because blood represents life. We do not see any command that animals can also eat other animals. But because of the general entrance of sin, we can see that even the climate has changed, because God also in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, he gives tunics of skin to Adam and Eve to protect them now from their nakedness, but also from the weather that is now going to change and seasonal. So I'm simply saying the general entrance of sin did not only affect men, but it affected the covenant that was made with Adam and with creation. And because it was mainly about, you will, you know, it's the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now that you have eaten, you will be exposed to good and evil. Now, if nature, all nature is not affected, on only Adam and Eve die as a result, then everything else remains good and only they get eliminated from the equation. But the deal was, you will know good and evil. So that even, you know, when I read the Spirit of Prophecy, the first chapter, the second chapter that deals with the fall, after Adam and Eve sinned, they mourned. It says they mourned for a leaf that would decay much more than we now mourn for the dead, because this was a new thing to them. So not only the animal kingdom was involved, so death began to reign in the animal kingdom, in plants as well, and also in human beings. Can I also read the last one, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, and I think I shall have made sense.
Okay.
After that one, Hosea chapter 4, it's after Daniel. Hosea is after Daniel. Hosea 4. It says here, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." Now, this is the first thing. God created us in his image. And then he says, he blesses man and he says, "Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion." Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything else that creeps on the face of the earth. Now, it says here, there was no knowledge. Verse 2, "By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery." These are results of not knowing God. "They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed." Verse 3, "Therefore, the land will mourn." Remember when they sinned in the beginning, God cast the ground. Now he says, "Therefore, because they do not know God and they commit all these things, the land will mourn. And everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away." Because when man sins, the ecosystem, remember, when before man was created, all ecosystems were already put in place. Because why? God was creating everything for man. Now, if man sins, all ecosystems are created for him. They are therefore affected. And that's how he experiences the knowledge of good and evil. So when we move away from God, maybe we have a narrow perception that we will be affected. Maybe I personally will only get sick and no one else will be affected. But sin permeates the whole ecosystem, because the ecosystem itself is made for men. Yeah. I hope that makes sense. But additional argument that is made by Ellen G. White is also that because Adam was given dominion over everything, when he rebelled against God, when he sinned against God, I don't want to use the word rebel, it's very strong, but it's a hard here. They missed the mark. You are asking about the definition of it. It's simply to miss the mark.
Yeah.
When it's avon, then it's iniquity. It has intention. When it's pesha, it's the highest form of deliberate and intentional disobedience to God. It's rebellion. Now, with Adam, it was a hatat. I want to say, because he did that, according to Ellen G. White, the animal kingdom also began to rebel against him. So as a father who rules the family, if he does not set an example in terms of worshiping God, what will follow is that the children will be disobedient to him. It happened with David. As soon as he took Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and made sure that Uriah also died, his family was in disarray. His own children disobeyed him. They killed each other. That's a natural consequence. Adam disobeyed. The animal kingdom also is hostile to him. We begin to see animals now like lions, predators. They don't only eat each other, but they begin to attack men. David had to fight against a lion and a bear. Samson had to kill a lion that attacked him. And when Joseph's brothers lied about him having died, they say they took his robe, put it in a lamb's blood, but they took it to his father and said, "See where your son might be." And then he concluded that the beast of the field had killed him. This predatory instinct, we do not know where it comes from, but we can conclude that sin and affected all ecosystems. Satan himself used the serpent as a medium. He could still be using animals, even up to this day. Who knows?
Mm.
I think it's enough.
Yeah, a mouthful indeed, Pastor. You know, I want to pick on the, you know, example that you made of a father, because I'm a little worried that, everyone should catch a stray because of one guy. And of course, now people are catching stray bullets here, and quite unfortunate, because, I mean, if you're a father, of course, and you rightfully said, you've got to set an example. So if the firstborn comes home in their drunken state, you've got to set an example to say, you know what, if I leave this disobedience thing, it will fester in all my other six children. So rather I deal with this one properly and set an example in front of these other ones, so they know that if you do this, this will also happen to you. Now, you know what you have, and please do tell me if I'm not getting it right here, is that this guy comes home drunk, and as a father, I now deal with him decisively. I take out my shambok or whatever, and I, discipline there. When I finish, and then I get onto these ones as well, and I also discipline them, and they also catch their strays now of their older brother, and I say, you, I've taken off this off your hands. You shall not have it. You're not going to have it anymore. No PlayStation for you. You beat the other one. The other one already. I'm not going to buy any shoes, etc. All because of the firstborn. Surely, Mfundisi, it can't be right.
It can't be right. And God himself in the book of Ezekiel, he says the father will not die for the sins of the son, nor the son die for the sins of the father.
Mm.
But remember Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, you shall not bow down to them. Talking about idols here, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandment. Now, this is now directly in the Ten Commandments. This is an unjust commandment. No, it is not. What it is saying here is that usually through socialization, and then we see it with the kings of Israel.
Right.
And when a king is disobedient, more likely his son will be disobedient, more likely his own immediate family, and then ultimately the whole nation. You will see with the history of Israel that when a king comes, like Josiah, who makes reforms, even at a very young age, when he makes reforms, the family reforms, the nation also reforms. What it is teaching us is that, and then you will see it, maybe if I can give another example, with Achan in Joshua chapter 7 or 8, who had taken a Babylonish garment. He did not die alone, but because he hid it in his tent. We can infer from that, even though it does not say anything, that people seldom sin alone, and others become accomplices. They know he has hidden something. He couldn't have done it without their knowledge. So when he's killed with his entire family. When you go to the book of Daniel chapter 6, and then you have people who are planning to eliminate Daniel, you know, that conspiracy. They make a law that the king approves without knowing that there were conspirators who wanted to eliminate Daniel, and then he keeps praying, and then they go back to the king. And they say, that man, he has been praying to his God and not to you. And then you know that the law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed. Now he's thrown into the lion's den. God protects him. But when he's taken out, all those people who had plotted, they are thrown into the lion's den with their families. And the principle is simple. It's the same one that we find in the commandments themselves, that very often through socialization, what I do as a father will affect my children. They are likely to do the same thing. But God himself says in Ezekiel chapter, I think it's in chapter 3, verse 18 or 18, verse 20, the father will not die for the sins of the son, and the son will not die for the sins of the father. So when a king like Hezekiah chooses not to follow in the steps of the father, he has made a wise choice. But the likelihood is that he will not. In most cases, people follow their parents, their grandparents, because these things are in the family. And that's why we have family diseases and things, because we eat the same food, we do the same things, we are likely to have the same diseases. But if one person chooses that I'm going to make different choices, God also honors that.
Yep.
That. And so, but with the animals, the animal was used as a medium to tempt men. So the animal kingdom was involved in this case. We may say that it was innocent. It is the devil that used it, but it was used.
Yeah.
Are we together? It was used.
Yeah.
But it was used. And so God curses that animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now we cannot claim to be superior to God in terms of judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
So in this case, a serpent was part of the, you know, it was used as a medium. And therefore, God, he says he curses the animal kingdom, but he says
and then
you,
he dealt with all of them.
More than the other.
God, and then he dealt with all of them, the goats, the sheep, and everything else caught strays.
Because everything was made for men. If you understand, man was the last to be created. Because...
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, yeah, Pastor, I can hear you.
I'm saying all ecosystems had to be put in place before man could be created, because
everything
needed to be ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was the crowning part of creation, because he, only man, was created in the image of God. And that's why he says, yeah, let's create man in our image. But after he's created in the image of God, we give him dominion. But when we lose that image of God, because he also says, you know, subdue the earth and keep it. You know, man himself becomes, when it does no longer bear the image of God, he becomes abusive. Even the dominion that God gives to him, it becomes dictatorial. You know, sometimes when we see a dog, we don't even talk to it friendly. Can you move over there? We kick a dog as if it does not have feelings, because we are not bearing the image of God. And even what God had given, because we bore his image, it is done now to abuse the animal kingdom as well. But I wanted us, so that we don't forget.
Yeah.
If we are one-sided, we will not be balanced.
Okay.
God saved animals. When he saved Noah and Noah's family, clean animals and unclean animals were saved to represent all the different types of animals that God had created. And so animals were saved. Animals will be saved in the future, Isaiah chapter 11. And now that predatory instinct will not be there, to show that this is a reversal going back to the original Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The wolf, Genesis, this is now Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, it says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall live down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. This is where people who doubt that God created lions as herbivores and not carnivores, it comes back here. It shall eat straw like the ox. The nesting child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the winged child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Are we seeing now that when the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord, it also extends to the animal kingdom, that the hurting, the destroying, the harming also ceases?
Yeah.
Hosea chapter 4 says, when the knowledge of the Lord ceases, now, that means we have given room now to Satan to control us. All bad things happen. They do not only end with men. They extend also to the animal kingdom. They also extend to vegetation and to the ground as well. Sometimes the famine, because people do not want to acknowledge, to have the knowledge of God. That, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah, the prophet, challenged the prophet of Baal, the issue is people want to worship Baal because he's the god of fertility. They want to worship Asherah because that is the goddess of fertility. And God says, because you want to worship those, I'm going to show you that I can stop the rain. No matter what you do to those and sacrifice your children, you will not get rain. And so when God to punish the disobedient, to feel it, we will have to feel it in the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I think the point here is that because God created everything for man, and he says, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. But death did not come immediately. You know, they died centuries later. But in the meantime, they experienced... Okay, can you come in?
Fundis, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying something. So I'm saying in the meantime.
I wanted to come in, yes.
All right.
Yeah, I'm this, because I'm looking at our time. The time has literally escaped, and I think you've made the point quite loud and clear. Now, so this is in the beginning, and of course, man falls into sin, and the curses happen, etc., etc. Now we see today we live with what is called the law, of God. And we literally have 3 minutes to go. I don't know if you'll fit it in, but I want to understand in the whole picture. We didn't have the law at the beginning. Now we have the law. They call it the, Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And where's this whole thing now coming from? Because if it was not necessary in the beginning, and now much later, then there's the Decalogue. Where's it coming from? When was it established? Why was it necessary? I don't know if you can attend to it in literally 3 minutes.
Yes, 3 minutes is too small, but let's say in the Decalogue is in Exodus chapter 20. Mm. In Exodus chapter 15, we already have God telling people to honor the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. In Genesis, all commandments are involved. Joseph says to Potiphar's house, how can I commit this sin? How can I do this thing and sin against God? Talking about the sin of adultery. Mm-hmm. There was this king in Genesis chapter 12 who had taken, when Abraham had lied that Sarah was not his wife, he takes Sarah, and God, makes everybody sick in that family. Mm. And then in a vision comes to the king and he says, that is Abraham's wife, So adultery was not permitted. When Joseph's brothers, Joseph tested them and put his golden cup in Benjamin's sack. Mm. And when the Egyptians came, they found them. They took them back. And Joseph's brother says, if you find it, whoever you find the sack in, let him die. I'm just showing you that I can take them one by one
because
we don't have enough. The Decalogue was there. But if I were to summarize, yesterday, sin is selfishness and self-centeredness. The law of God, in summary, is love and humility. Love in one word. Mm. And love is there from the beginning. But if we were to take the commandments one by one, we will show them that they were there in Genesis before the Decalogue of chapter 20.
Beautiful. Well, Mfundis, thank you so much. I love that last statement that you finished with, just so that the listener can also grasp it. I think it's a powerful statement. You said sin is what? Selfishness?
Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-exaltation, pride.
And then you said the law of God?
The law of God is summarized in one word, love.
Mm. Beautiful.
That is love for God and love for men.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, I do want to say thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been an absolute pleasure to join you again. Again, clearly explaining these things. Difficult to understand, but you definitely have been able to actually unpack it nicely for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Yeah, have a good day. Bye.
Radio,
from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.